Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. And this morning, as we mentioned earlier today, I am joined by Laura Irish Hansen from the University of Minnesota. Laura, good morning to you. This is, I think, what, your second appearance on the show? Is that right? Or third? Second, I think.
It is. It's my second one. It's good to be here, Denny.
Well, thanks for taking the time on this chilly boy, is it going to be? But we will forge ahead and talk lawns and gardens, even though Monday night it'll be 17 below zero. We're going to talk about the effect on our shrubs and lawns and stuff like that. But, you know, and again, you were on with our friend Julie Weisenhorn before, but let's get a little background. Where did you grow up? You know, where did you go to school? All of that. So, and what got you interested in this green stuff?
Yeah. So, if we're going a little further back, it was actually my parents that really got me into horticulture without really knowing it, maybe. And if they're listening, you know, now you get to hear my version of my childhood. But my parents were really into both ornamental and edible gardening. And I grew up in a suburb of Chicago. And so back in the 90s, you know, most people just had the cute little boxwoods and, you know, the whiskey barrel planters and then a lot of lava rock. But my parents were a little different and they had the most beautiful ornamental gardens. And that really spurred my interest in plants. Fast forward, I ended up at Iowa State University, and I ended up majoring for my undergrad in horticulture with an emphasis in public education. And then I rolled right into a master's program working with Iowa Master Gardeners and SNAP Ed. And it was one of the most fulfilling experiences I've ever had. In that time and in grad school, I was teaching plant propagation, and at the University of Minnesota, they happened to have a position open for someone to instruct plant propagation on campus for the labs. And so thankfully, they accepted me, and so I worked on campus for about 6 years. And then I just came over to Extension about 10 months ago. So now I am here to help people in broader Minnesota and the Midwest and beyond with anything going on with their gardens.
But again, like your colleagues, you are an educator.
Yes. Yep. I love teaching people about plants and being successful with their plants.
So once a Hawkeye, now a Gopher.
Oh, I was a Cyclone. Yeah. The other Iowa.
Oh, that's right. There are two. I remember my brief stint in Iowa. Well, it's great to have you here, and we appreciate your expertise. I know our listeners do as well. Lawns and gardens. Any question for Laura Irish Hansen this morning here on CCO? You know the number. You can call it in if you'd like to chat with Laura, or if you just want to send a text like some folks are doing, let's hear from you. Better sooner rather than later. You know how busy we tend to get. By the way, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Great Garage Floors, has been kind enough. They realize the value of this particular show and how busy we do get, and they're along for the ride. So we thank Great Garage Floors for being the sponsor of this show. Great Garage Floors. Great people. Used them myself about 17 years ago, as a matter of fact. All right. Again, here's her number, 651-461-9226. What's the deal with this? I mentioned about this extreme cold we have, and we don't have a whole lot of snow cover, Laura. What can this mean?
Well, it could mean a few things, depending on what type of plants we're talking about. Most people, hopefully, they covered any new or tender perennials before this cold has come through. If you do have some really sensitive plants or plants that are really susceptible to getting damage from extreme cold, I recommend trying to put up some type of mulch or barrier around them. For instance, if you had a holiday tree and you didn't send it to the curb to get taken away to be mulched, if you still have that, you can use that to kind of try to help buffer some of those plants. But really, a lot of plants that are sold and grown in Minnesota are pretty resilient for withstanding the cold temperatures that we're going to have. Ideally, of course, I wish we had 6 inches of snow to really protect the crowns of those plants. But it's just not... it's not feasible, I don't think, for most people right now to try to mulch and cover all of their tender perennials.
Now, Laura, looking at the forecast, besides the cold weather, right through Friday, I see zero precipitation. None.
Yep. Most of the time in the winter, we're looking for snow, right? We don't want it to rain because the ground is frozen or mostly frozen, so that water actually doesn't absorb down. It just runs right off. Just the lack of snow and lack of precipitation. I'm very hopeful that we'll get some maybe in February I'm not a meteorologist. I don't know if we're going to get any in February.
Fingers crossed, boy. Yeah. We need that insulation. Let's grab a phone call, Laura, this morning. Roger is calling in from Owatonna, Minnesota. Roger, thank you. What is your question for Laura?
Thanks for taking my call. I've got about 50 young oak trees that are just a foot and a half to 3 or 4 feet tall. They were not bought at a nursery. They were volunteers that I just tried an experiment. I just replanted them and so on. My question is this. For the first 2 years, I didn't do any pruning because I want the root system to get established. Last winter, I don't know that they ever went dormant. They are in desperate need of pruning. Am I allowed to take more than 20 or 25% off of this 2 foot tall tree? And then especially, I've got maybe 4 or 5 that have a crotch just maybe 2 inches above the ground, and it's almost 50% on each limb that's coming up. Am I allowed to take one of them off, or should I just take half of one side and take the other half in another year? I hope this makes sense to you. General pruning on some, they just look like a shrub. And then a special emphasis on the ones with that little Y or crotch coming just a couple inches above the ground where they're both sides are sort of equal. Thanks. I'll listen. Thank you.
Yeah. That is really excellent questions, and I am a big proponent of people planting oaks, especially ones if they can collect them and get them to grow, and they have the space. For pruning, for the ones that don't have that, what I'm hearing is maybe a double leader, that one that is branching out from that 2 inches from the ground. So for not those ones, but the other ones that aren't branched, doing that double leader, you could try to take out about 30%, but when they're this young, we really want to make sure that they are going to have enough leaves that are going to come up in the spring and summer and to photosynthesize and really help out those young plants to grow a little larger. Without seeing the plants directly, I don't know how comfortable you are with selecting which different branches to prune out, but what I would recommend doing is looking at those branches, and if you see any of them, they're going to cross over each other. Select one, because we don't want those branches to end up rubbing on each other later, because that will just be an open invitation for different disease and pests to go into the oaks. For those ones that are closer to the ground with those double leaders, it's better to select one main trunk. And by leader, I mean that's the main trunk. So when most people think of an oak, they think of one nice, big, strong trunk, depending on the species. And so I would select the one that looks the straightest and has the best side branches coming out of it. And it's definitely, make sure you prune that now and before March, really, or before mid-March. So
yeah, safety, yeah, for yep. sure. Laura, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners again to join in either by phone or by text. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Laura, call or text 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. Brought to us this morning by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, again presented by Great Garage Floors. Denny Long, along with Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M, answering those particular lawn and garden questions on this chilly morning. We've now moved to, we lost one more degree. 5 is the current Twin City temperature reading. And we'll get to that forecast here in a few minutes, and it is going to be cold. Laura, we've got texters. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you want to call in, like some folks like to do, by all means, 651-461-9226. Call or text Laura this morning. Let's see. Our maple tree, texter says, has grown over our house. Should we trim it back now before spring?
Yes, that is an excellent question. And in general, when we're doing tree pruning, for most of those deciduous trees like maple, oak, we want to do that when they're dormant, and that is in the winter. So yes, best time to prune for the most part is when the plants are dormant. The only time I'd recommend, like if you have a limb fall in the middle of the summer or during a storm, then you would definitely want to get those cuts cleaned up. So they're less susceptible to damage and disease.
Very good. This listener, Laura, says, we have 2 beautiful Matavilla vines we bring indoors every winter. When and how can we propagate them? New growth cuttings, maybe.
Yeah, Matavillas are gorgeous plants. You can do cuttings from them, and they're fairly easy to do at home. But the best time to do those cuttings is after they've pushed out a little bit of new growth. So usually right when you bring them in at the end of summer, they're kind of slowing down just because the day length has shortened and we have cooler temperatures at night before we bring them in. So if you fertilize them a little bit over the winter and they're pushing out some new growth, you can take cuttings from them. And I would recommend taking cuttings, and I'm going to explain this in 2 ways. So I would take cuttings that are, you know, have at least 4 or 5 nodes. And a node is just the part on the stem where a leaf comes out. So anytime you see a leaf come out, you can count that as 1 node. Or for most Matavillas, depending on how much sunlight or light they've been getting, that's probably like a 6 to 8 inch cutting. The key is when you go to propagate them, you can try to propagate them in water. If you decide to do that method, do not leave any leaves on the bottom of the cutting. The bottom is the part closest to where the root system would naturally be. Because if you put the leaves in the water, they'll just rot, and then your cuttings will rot and they won't send out new roots. The other method that you can try, because you want to kind of keep high humidity around those cuttings while they're starting to form those roots, is you can make something called a forsythe pot. So kind of, it sounds like a forsythia, so when you're going to type that in. So it's forsythe, ends in an E. And there's a really great page on the Extension's Yard and Garden for that. So that's extension.umn.edu. And it explains how you can make your own forsythe pot, which is used for rooting cuttings.
I'm glad you mentioned that website, Laura. We like to promote that often because, as you know, and you and your colleagues put so much great work into it. But there's so much great reading, especially this time of year, maybe when we're stuck indoors and it's so frigid. But any time of the year, and wouldn't you admit, I mean, you've seen extension websites from other parts of the country, but this has got to be one of the best.
Oh, yeah. And there's so much information. And what I really love about our website is just to be able to go in, particularly in these winter months, and get ideas for different types of plants you can grow, and particularly houseplants. That is a big part of gardening. And so we have tons of information there and really great ways to help people ID issues that might be happening on those plants, both indoor and outdoor plants.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And check videos, too.
Well, yeah, videos, too. And Ask the Master Gardener, all that good stuff. Extension.umn.ed. We'll mention that as we always like to. Laura, let's grab another phone call. I think Doris is on the line calling from Excelsior this morning. Thank you for waiting, Doris. What is your question?
Well, my question is, what suburb of Chicago is Laura from? Because I'm from Downers Grove, a Chicago suburb also. And I also would like to know if she's been to the Morton Arboretum.
That you just brought really great memories for me. Thank you for asking. So when I would go down to Chicago, I was on the Orange Line. And so for the Metra, if anybody goes to Chicago, they have a commuter rail train system. But anyways, I'm from Grays Lake, and most people don't know where Grays Lake is. It's a northern suburb. But if you know where the Six Flags is, Grays Lake touches the town that Six Flags is in. So that's how I like to help people. And the Morton Arboretum is absolutely amazing. I'm actually looking forward to going out there this April while I'll be in the Chicago area for about a week. And so I'm going to be visiting the Morton. I'm going to go to the Chicago Botanic. I'm very excited to go.
Well, that's great. That's great. A little old home week question this morning. That was great. Our listeners, we get listeners, of course, from all over, especially now on the Internet. We're all over the world, as a matter of fact. I know we're going to break here in a couple of minutes for weather, but I want to grab this text that came in a bit ago. Is there a magic temperature to reach, cold that is, that will kill off some bugs that are not beneficial?
Oh, wow. That really depends on what the bug is or the insect is, because some of them are ground nesting and they overwinter in the ground. And so most of them are going to be tolerant to the freezing temperatures just because, you know, as you go down a couple or a few inches and feet in the soil, it might not be frozen, depending on where you're at in Minnesota and the winter we're having. But the insects that might just, you know, perish once the cold temperatures happen, that's usually a little bit below freezing for most of them. So once air temperatures get down to about 25 to 20, a lot of those insects that get blown in from the south will die. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like you said, it depends on the critter. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. This listener sent a text that said, my orchid is on its second life and has two stalks with buds. Where did it go here? However, two of the buds have dried up and fallen off. So far, the rest look okay, but I am concerned they will eventually all fall off. They want to know, what can I expect?
Well, I am just going to go out on a limb and say your house might be very dry, because most orchids need humidity levels between 50 to 70% to really thrive. So if you don't have a humidifier running by those orchids or a humidity tray, which work, but they're not quite as effective usually, that's might be one of the reasons the buds are dropping. They can also drop for a lot of other reasons. It could be cold temperatures if you have it next to a window that's a little drafty, or if you have it under an air exchange. So if the heat is blowing, if you don't have radiator heat, that is. So biggest thing, though, I would assume would be probably humidity issues.
Very good. Hang on, Laura. We'll take a break and find out how cold it's really going to be getting. We'll have a look at that forecast. We have about another half hour of the show to go here on our Smart Garden Show, presented by Great Garage Floors. Call us or text us. You can call Laura or text Laura, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here. If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have in mind this Saturday morning. You can call it in like a lot of folks like to do, or send a text, 651-461-9226. And we do have a bunch of texts, Laura. But, you know, I want to make mention, like we like to do, is the Arboretum. I know you are impressed when you got here, too. We love the landscape, the U of M University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. There's the whole title, Landscape Arboretum.
There is.
We love the Arb. And I would guess you do, too.
Oh, I absolutely love the Arb. I have the privilege of having my office out at the Arb, the farm at the Arb, and it is just a wonderful place to be. And yeah, I feel so fortunate to be able to work with all the people out at the ARB and also get to see all the fun classes that they put on all of the time. A lot of them are actually out at the farm. So yeah, they're doing a propagation class right after this from 9 to noon today. And I almost wish I was doing the radio from there so I could pop in and see what they're doing.
We should think of doing that sometime. Maybe we can do that remotely. Yeah, I'm sure you love your work now. I mean, this is kind of a dream, really. And you're doing the work you love, like some of us are privileged to do. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. I'm looking at more texts that just came in. Here's another one. Our garden has become overrun with berry-producing trees and shrubs, as well as some vines. Which should I keep? Gooseberry, elderberry, raspberry, mulberry. There's a question for you.
If that was my yard, I guess it would depend on how close all of those plants are together. If they're running just kind of all tangled up in one another and it's just not manageable or feasible to work around them or enjoy that space, I would definitely suggest looking at that landscape and deciding how do I want to move through it, and then take out the plants that are inhibiting you from being able to enjoy your space. If you're talking about for edibility, I am really a big fan of all of those plants for eating, mostly for processing. That's a tricky one to answer for somebody. Yeah. Just really depends on what you like and what brings you joy. And if none of those plants are bringing you joy, please take them out. There are so many wonderful edible trees and shrubs, small trees and shrubs that are a little more easy to manage than those ones are.
Be careful
with your gooseberry, though. As you know, there's lots of thorns.
So. Oh, yes. And getting to know you and your first show solo here this morning, Laura, what do you do? What kind of a yard or garden? What are you doing this time of year thinking about lawns and gardens?
Oh, my goodness. I love this because January is one of my favorite months for gardening, and it's mostly because I love looking through all the seed catalogs and I love planning out my gardens and my beds and what I want to change for the coming growing season. And this year I bought myself a soil blocker so I could stop using plastic flimsies for seed starting.
What is that material?
Yeah, so a soil blocker, they're usually made out of metal, and they have different sizes depending on where you buy them, but I bought one that has 5 cells, so if you can imagine a long rectangle, and each cell is 1 3/4 by 1 3/4, and what you do is you... and it has a handle. Oh, it's hard to describe. So it's a rectangle, and then in the center, there's a handle that comes up, like, so you can hold on to it. So you pack your substrate, and that just means you're growing media. So, you know, most of it will be germination mix. And you pack that in the bottom. And then I actually move that to a tray. And then you pull up on that center handle, and it pops out these perfect little soil cubes.
Mm.
And that's what I'm going to do my seed starting in, because I wash and reuse all those little flimsy plastics. And I'd really love to stop doing that.
What a great idea.
Save some time.
What about lawns? I know that our friend Teresa Rooney, she grows wild stuff. She doesn't have to mow any lawn. But what about you?
Yeah, so I have 3 cats that are too fat to get out of the yard. So we have a fenced backyard, just a simple chain link fence. And I like to have some turf available because I love being barefoot. I feel very privileged. I can go around my whole garden barefoot in the summer. And so I like that feeling of that turf. And I switched over a big portion of our backyard into a fine fescue mix so that it's less maintenance. And I'm also a proponent, like, you need to have a space that works for you. And for me, my cats love rolling around in the grass, and I love walking through some of the grass. But I will say that when we purchased our home a few years ago, it was mostly turf, and I have put in hundreds and hundreds of square feet of garden beds everywhere. And I just finished building a little greenhouse. So
less to mow. I'm all for that. Less to mow. Yeah. Well, that sounds great. All right. Again, if you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M answering those questions this morning, those lawn and garden questions. Here is another one for you. Texter says, we have a crabapple tree that's 10 to 12 feet, 9 years old, has a bad lean to it because of a windstorm a few years ago, but it's very healthy. We have it staked out, but it has not helped. Anything you think we can do without jeopardizing its health, or should we just leave it?
Well, I guess it depends on that percentage of lean. You know, if it's at like a 30-degree lean, that's a pretty severe lean. I would definitely do the staking like you did just to help make sure it doesn't tip over anymore. Other things. If it's only a slight lean, you know, you could try to put a little bit more tension on it, but I'd be really cautious about doing anything like that just because you can actually hurt the stems of the plants, even on nice big mature trees. If you, you know, if you just have a rope wrapped around the stem, you can actually end up girdling that if you leave it for a few years. So make sure you put something over it, like a rubber mat on that backside of the rope. But for the most part, if it's not bothering you, I would recommend leaving it if you've already staked it, just because the tree will probably be fine, unless, again, it's a severe lean. And then you're going to want to try to shift that back in an upright position. And it will still have to be staked to help it reorient it. Well, not reorient the roots, but to send some more anchoring roots to keep it upright.
Very good. This listener, Laura, says, I have 3 50-plus old oak trees in different parts of the yard. One still has 75% of its leaves. When do you think they'll fall off the tree? They live in southern Minnesota, by the way. Well, that happens, right?
Oh, yeah. That's perfectly normal. Oaks are actually really good. They hold on to those leaves, and most of them will start falling off once there's new bud break this coming late spring. So, yeah, nothing to worry about. Definitely just leave them. That is just what they do. And I love looking at them in the winter because it adds some interest when I look out on the landscape. So, no,
absolutely.
Perfectly normal.
651-461-9226 for your lawn and garden question for Laura. This listener bought a spider plant at the sale Extension had last fall and have left it in the container. The water runs right through it, and the soil seems very light. Should I transplant using a potting soil, or is it okay to leave it in that container with that soil?
I love when this happens. And by love, I mean it's just fun to explain. What likely happened is that the plant went through a long period without water, and it's something that's called hydrophobic. It means that the substrate dried out so much that it's actually repelling water away. So when you go to water it, it's not, the water isn't absorbing into that potting mix. It's just running off the edges and out of the bottom of the pot. So there's a few things you can do to rehydrate that media, and one of them is a slow trickle method. So that's where you just water a little bit on the top, a little bit on the top, a little bit on the top. I find that a little tedious. I don't like doing it that way. What I really enjoy doing is getting a bigger bowl or a bucket, filling that with water, and then putting my pot, the whole pot, in the, so you want to make sure that you're not just pulling the plant and the substrate out. You want to keep it in that pot it's in, and you submerge it and you hold it under that water. You don't want to submerge the whole plant under the water, I should say, just up to that soil line. And you hold it and wait until all of that water is reabsorbed. And then the last method that a lot of people like to do, because it's the most hands-off, you can actually just set that pot in that bucket of water, as long as it's pretty close to the same width, and just let that plant, the substrate, reabsorb the water. And then you fixed your substrate issue. I will say, if the substrate has pulled off the walls of the container it's in, you might want to re-pot and backfill those edges, just because it'll give more rooting zone for your plant.
All right, very good. I'm looking at a text, Laura. It says, welcome to Laura. I hope she's a regular addition to the show. Well, yes, if we can twist her arm, we hope to have Laura on whenever she's available. So there, you've got a fan already.
Thank you. I'm sure
many
I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Yes, you're part of our repertoire, right? Our repertory company with the rest of your colleagues, and we're glad to have you. Tell you what, let's do. Let me throw in one more text, and then we'll take a quick break. How can, texter says, I get my aloe vera plant to grow faster? We use it for cuts, etc., and wish we had more. Any idea how to do that?
So that's an excellent question. And it really depends on, well, my first thought was it depends on the size of the aloe you have right now. If it is quite a large, robust aloe, and I'm thinking of like leaves that are like 1 to 2 inches wide at the base, if you can, you can actually pull that aloe out of its pot and kind of tease away the stem right at the where it goes down into the soil. And if you repot it, so some of that stem is laying sideways, so it might look a little odd to you, but if you lay it sideways, it'll actually help it produce side branching and potentially some more pup formation. And pups are just baby aloe plants that are coming off of the base. And that can help speed up the production of more aloe. If it is a smaller aloe plant, so those ones that are like pencil thick leaves at the base, for the most part, if you want more pups to grow, you actually want to neglect it a little more, which seems counterintuitive. So if you actually watered a little less frequently, it can help kind of stress that plant out and it can form more pups. And that's how I've had success, both in the greenhouses on campus and at home, getting more aloe.
They're called pups. I like that.
Yep, pups. Pups.
All right. Hang on, Laura. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back on the other side with more Smart Garden. Presented this morning and every Saturday by Great Garage Floors in the Twin Cities. We currently have 5 above 0. We hope to make it to 8 above, but we'll be dropping to 12 below overnight, 1 below. That's the high tomorrow. 11 below Sunday night. 4 below Monday, that's the high, and then 17 below Monday night. So you stay tuned to CCO and take precautions. We're in the midst of that hazardous weather. Cold weather advisory basically begins today right through Tuesday. Right now, fair skies, 5 above, from News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here. Long, if you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen, a new voice here on WCCO from Extension from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions. We'll hear from Laura from time to time here on these Saturday mornings. Here is another text, Laura. Is it too early to start parsley plants?
Well, I am so glad you asked this question because I was just looking at my crop schedule that I make, and I, for reference, usually start my parsley at the very end of February to the beginning of March to be put outside. So if you start your seeds too early indoors, they can get too large, and then they can go through something called transplant shock, where they don't do very well. Another issue is they take up a lot more space as you're getting closer and closer to those planting dates that are typically, for parsley, you can put them out, depending on where you are in the state, in mid to late April. But you don't want too big of plants. And then you also have more likelihood of having pests come in on those plants the longer they're in your house. So I would hold off. I know it's really exciting to want to plant seeds. I am excited to plant seeds. But hold off for just a couple more weeks at least.
Patience. All right. When pruning apple, plum, apricot, and pear trees, the listener says, how much can I cut off from the top so they grow wider instead of taller?
So I would not recommend doing a severe heading cut or a topping cut to them, just because you can get some really funky growth happening, depending on when you cut, where you cut them. What you could do, just so if you want very specific, help and recommendations, you can actually send photos to the Ask a Master Gardener on the Extension page. That's at extension.umn.edu. And they can help out to help you kind of look at the plants and where would be the best way to prune those.
Yeah, again, get on that website. If you haven't tried that yet, check it out, extension.umn.edu. Listener, and I want to try to get in as many of these texts as we can. The listener put in 8 inches of leaf mulch over my new daffodil bulbs, they said. When should I remove it? The last frost, maybe?
Actually, you can remove them before the last frost, and depending where you're at in Minnesota, make sure you know your last frost date. But what's really difficult for most spring flowering bulbs is they have really goofy, wonky growth if there's mulch over them when they're just starting to come up. And I think last year, because we didn't have too much snow cover, just kind of what it's looking like this year so far, I had daffodils coming up in my yard in April. So in central Minnesota. So I would definitely pull them back at least in April, as long as the temperatures aren't dropping into the negatives.
Very good. Listener wants to know what's the best way after cutting those annual vines to prevent regrowth.
To prevent regrowth on annual vines. So I'm going to assume these are plants you don't want. The best way typically is you want to identify what that vine is, and then you can look up if there's any type of herbicide that can squash them back to actually, so you're not having perpetual regrowth. A lot of vines in particular, when you cut them back, what you do is there's this phenomenon when you cut them back, and I won't go deep into it, but it actually encourages more branching and more growth to come out. So you have to be very diligent if you're trying not to use any type of herbicide, that you have to go out and cut right away when they're just starting to bud out again. Just keep cutting them back, and you can try to see if that works for some of those species, but it's not always effective.
Okay. This listener says, speaking of seed starting, can you offer any info on winter seed sowing? That's in quotes. Is now the time to start native plant seeds?
I would hold off until this very cold spell is over this weekend, even though it seems like a perfect weekend to start sowing seeds for that. If you are going to be doing winter sowing in some type of containers, I know a lot of people have been on the internet and they see the milk jug starting for those native seeds. I would wait until put those out for at least another week or two. And most perennials, they have a certain number of days where they need to be out in the cold. So some of those perennial plants only need 30 days of cool temperatures, whereas other ones might need 60 to 90. So make sure you know what seeds you have, and then you can look up that information online or from wherever you've collected those seeds from.
Okay. Laura, we've got about a minute or so to go, and I want to mention again the Arboretum. Can you tell us briefly what's happening at the Arboretum these days?
Well, I was just in the OVC and Snyder building. So that's those main buildings when you come in, when you are in the parking lot and you walk in, and they are getting ready for their spring flower show, which opens up on February 1st. And it is looking so fun, and I'm so excited to see what they end up, the final product for that in the next couple of weeks. So definitely come check that out when that opens up. It's been really, really fun to see. Of course, they always have new art installations going on. So if you need some indoor inspiration, check that out. And then there's a bunch of classes that are coming up in the next few weeks. So get on the website, look at those education classes. And if I'm not mistaken, if you have children, the spring summer camp registration opens up sometime this coming week. So,
all right.
It's very popular, so make sure you're on it.
A lot of good stuff going on, as usual, at the Landscape Arboretum. Laura, what a pleasure having you on this this hour, and let's do this again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. Stay warm, everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you. Laura Irish Hansen joining the group here on our Smart Garden Show here on CCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.